Welcome to the 30th episode of the Game 4 podcast. In this episode, still recording from home, we will be joined by our guest, Steve Ellis, from Free RPG Day. I'm Adam.
I'm Matt.
And with us, we've got Steve Ellis. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great today. It's nice to be with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks. Nice. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to talk about Free RPG Day a little bit and some other projects that you're working on and things like that. We've got questions about, we've got some questions about how you got started in the industry and all that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that in a sec. Normally at the beginning of the show, we generally talk about like what kind of things we've been working on lately, with it, whether it's in the hobby or special projects, stuff that's gaming related. Matt, what have you been doing lately?
So I've started revamping my blog site, so Gaming Matter. It is now kind of turning into a store / video website. So I've been doing some test prints and stuff. So basically, it's going to be doing more 3D prints, designs, and also offering to print files for people. So I'm doing some test prints for friends to try to figure out pricing, timing, that kind of thing. Before I go to a launch.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, you've got both a filament machine and a resin machine now.
Yes. Yep. Now I've got both. And I've got a good range of materials already on hand and experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've had enough people ask me that I figured I'll go ahead and give it a try. You know, at least maybe cover some of my costs. Plus, you know, I've been doing some more video stuff, so hoping to get the YouTube stuff going so that I can kind of, you know, take stuff that I've been doing blogs about and do the video instead. So it's a little easier to demonstrate some of the more visual stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's more work than writing generally, but yeah, mm-hmm. you can get the point across in certain situations, maybe a bit easier.
Yeah. I was finding I was pretty much taking a picture for every step anyway, and then having to edit and put in and try to figure out which order was in. And so I was doing a lot already. So
yeah,
I just figured, you know, let's go.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But then, yeah, I finally got some hobby time for building and started doing some WW2 armies and stuff for weird World War II stuff. So like Conflict 47 and then from our friend at Gaddis Games, Empire's Fall, that's coming out this fall. That I'm kind of getting some armies, both U.S. and U.S., British, and Soviet army. I've been putting those together, so...
And both of those are basically weird World War II, which is to say alternate history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so you've got some, you've got some of your cool, normal, like your Sherman tanks and stuff like that. But then you also have like, you know, Tesla cannons and some robot infantry and stuff like that. So, like I said, I like that because then I don't have to worry about the getting the exact colors right or the exact, you know, the rivet count perfect.
Exactly.
I can kind of go, well, yeah, that's because, you know, in this version, they didn't have enough bolts, so they were down two rivets.
Sure, yeah. Like the historical wargamers have a tendency sometimes to be very specific, and so when you play alternate history, then you don't have to worry about it as much because you'd be like, well, they decided to change the color of their pants in 1948 when the war was still going on and there were werewolves and laser tanks. You know, I mean, yeah, that's helpful. That's absolutely helpful.
But yeah, well, that's what I've been up to. How about you?
Yeah. I've been working on the new Necron models that came in the new Warhammer 40,000 Indomitus box, which was the big new starter box that's coming out for 9th edition.
Are those Games still Workshop. You still think those are a lot easier to build? That's still the consensus?
Oh yeah. In comparison to the old Necrons, yeah, they're a lot easier to build. They put them together I mean, it's a smart, you know, they're going to get better at this stuff as they go along. And those original, like the current up till now, those Necron builds were, those molds were probably from the early 2000s, I think.
Okay.
So they'd been around for quite a while. Games Workshop sent me and a bunch of other like bloggers and YouTubers and whatnot, the Indomitus box a bit early because it doesn't come out until the 25th of July, I think. And so, yeah, I have built all the Necron models and I've started painting some of them on my Twitch stream. So that's been fun. I've been really enjoying that. And then I also primed and highlighted a bunch of Skaven plague monks for a Warcry warband that I'm building for Age of Sigmar Warcry. And so I had about a dozen of them built, technically there's 13. It's a baker's dozen in the situation. So I just had to build one last guy and texture some of the bases on some of them. And then I primed them and all that with my airbrush, also highlighted them. And now I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to paint them just for my own hobby or whether I'm going to be putting them on, you know, painting them while I'm on Twitch. If I'm doing that, it's, I still think I might go towards that because I think these Necrons are going to get done sooner versus later. So it won't be, you know, the worst thing is to be sitting down and preparing to start streaming on Twitch and going, all right, what am I going to do today? Like, what am I, you know, right. So you want to have, you know, projects. So, and then otherwise I've just been, doing a lot of, learning, some new motion graphics programs. I've got, software that I've used for years and years and years for video editing is called Vegas Pro. And, they have recently made they basically have partnered up with another company called HitFilm, and now they have a special version of software that is basically HitFilm, which is, again, like I said, motion graphics and like animation, but it is branded as Vegas Effects is what it's called. So I've been learning that to basically start making better content and things like that for my YouTube channel. I might even be able to use it a little bit on Twitch as well. But so, yeah. So, Steve, what kind of stuff have you been doing lately since, I mean, obviously, you've got a store that you're running and you've got some big projects with Free RPG Day and things like that. But what other kind of things have you been working on lately?
Yeah, I've been trying to get a little bit of fun time in playing some board games with the family at home here. So that's mm-hmm. been kind of we've been trying to go through and get some of the, you know, what we consider old favorites on the table. So we got some great Western Trail last weekend and, you know, things like Terraforming Mars, some older mm-hmm. card games. I think we've got Concordia on the short list to get on the table again.
Yeah.
So trying to get through that, trying to take some breaks for that kind of stuff in between all of my other logistical stuff for Free RPG Day with that coming up. And then also a lot of playtesting online for some upcoming games from my other job, Oni Games.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to sort through what we like best about things like Tabletop Simulator or Tabletopia or whatever. Those are the two that we've been messing around with the most, trying to figure out which one works best for our kind of extended team and trying to get that some of the non-game team members on to play test some things from the office. So some of our editorial and marketing type people and stuff as well who aren't well versed in those software things already. So just trying to figure out how to get some more eyes on prototypes and stuff than was super easy in the past, right? Because it's like you pop a prototype on the table for lunch and you get plenty of players.
Absolutely.
But these days it's a little more challenging. So just trying to figure out which of those systems are the easiest to use for some of our, you know, non-game team members to get in there and mess around with us so we get a little more feedback. And a lot of that kind of stuff, just trying to sort through the best ways to navigate the current world. Playtesting has been a really big challenge for game design and development, as you can imagine.
I've got a friend who's big into the whole Protospiel kind of movement, and he's been, you know, because they're not having any kind of Protospiel events, he used to go to at least one or two monthly, and now obviously he's not going anywhere. And so they've been trying to move predominantly into Tabletop Simulator. Are you finding that's working relatively well?
So what's interesting is that they both of those options mechanically work pretty well, right? You can get in there and you can play your games and you can do your stuff. The thing that's missing is the interaction and being able to observe other people playing the game. And the other big thing that's missing is, you know, little points of frustration. It's sometimes difficult to determine whether or not someone's struggling with a game concept or struggling more with the simulator,
the tool,
trying to make the thing work way they want. So it's interesting. Last week I played what I think might be a cool little like 15-minute card game from an outside designer, but we had an issue where it was, you know, it took us probably closer to 40 minutes to play the game just because of the you know, the multiple people playing on Tabletop Simulator and some of the nuances of figuring out a new game on in this weird simulator situation, right? So it's so, you know, the question is was that game really good but really disrupted by the fact that it took, you know, two or three times longer than it should to play a game because of the format in which we were trying it out? You know, so it's hard to know. It's like, did I love that game or not? Because
So it's a whole nother, it kind of throws some of your experience out the window. I didn't thought about that.
It was a game that I conceptually really liked. But the actual gameplay, it just really overstayed its welcome for the amount of time, right? That it took to play the game. But, you know, there was a lot of, you know, among the four of us who were playing, there were a lot of interface struggles and other things going on, right? So it's, so you don't want to dismiss it because of that. But at the same time, it's like, oh, it's very hard to make a judgment onto as to how that game actually was when it's just not as smooth. So we're going to play it again. But I mean, the bottom line is there are a lot of things that just take longer. And so it's difficult to judge, right? You know, it's like, oh, I think this game should be 45 minutes, but it took an hour and a half, right? You know, you know, and it's simple things like, you know, sorting through your cards or, you know, all these little nuanced things like, oh, I have to pick up these cards and choose one. Well, now I have to zoom in to read multiple cards as opposed to just having a hand of cards, which I can automatically skim visually, right? So yeah, a lot of things take longer. And so it's, you have to, which means that there's more downtime for the other players, which means it feels like the pacing isn't great. So it's difficult to judge, right? So I think that's been our biggest challenge there. So I've been working a lot on those things, trying to figure out how to streamline those experiences for the rest of our team, right? So that we can, when we try to show the game off to someone else in our team in-house, that we give them the best experience possible. You know, so it's okay, we'll play it a few times, and it's like, all right, so when we play this game, the two of us that know what we're doing, we need to really manage these aspects, right? And make sure that stuff gets taken care of so
it doesn't become the pain point.
Sense. So basically a lot of that, a lot more of that than I'm excited about doing, to be honest. But the good news is I've got a small little group in my household with my family that I can play some games with for fun as well in person. So I'm still having a good time playing games. It's just a little different.
It's been a good deal different. I'm by this point, I would have been to probably two or three more conventions. I mean, you go to a lot of conventions as well, I'm sure. So it's been weird kind of not traveling as much this year. So last show was Reno for I think probably for you as well, most likely.
So I did New York Toy Fair this year in Reno, and then you know, I had 8 or 10 more on my list for the year, and I think that number is going to be 0 more.
There's one very small tournament in Northern Illinois that I might still go to, but I still don't know if it's happening or not, but it's in like mid-November. And it's small. It's like 70 people, but I still don't even know if that's going to happen. So, although to be fair, Illinois has been doing pretty well in amongst most states as far as the cases and things like that. So I think that's pretty good. But yeah, so that's cool. So I we've got some questions actually we wanted to ask you, Steve, about kind of like your background and about some of the projects you're working on with like Free RPG Day and that kind of stuff. Like, when did you start? Like, what got you, like, when did you start getting into tabletop gaming, what we consider to be tabletop gaming? I mean, everybody kind of grows up with, playing, you know, Sorry and Monopoly and stuff like that. But the real kind of tabletop gaming, without trying to be too much of a gatekeeper, like, when did you kind of get into those things? You know, what got you into that?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in an extended family, like cousins and stuff, where aunts and uncles, we played lots of, you know, traditional card games and that kind of stuff, right? But I probably around 10 years old or so got into things like Axis and Allies and Dungeons and Dragons.
I got into D&D in fifth grade myself. So,
I mean, it was the classic case of you know, I had a friend who had an older brother, you know, who got us into D&D, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know,
thank goodness for older brothers back then. Older brothers had the internet for us.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was an only child, so I didn't have an older brother, but I have friends who had older brothers. And so, you know, I got my start that way, like many, right? With playing with, you know, the older brother running us through dungeons and things. And, you know, I mean, of course we were mostly fighting monsters and that kind of stuff when we're 10 year olds. Right. But,
oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but... yeah, I mean, that's kind of where, you know, I instantly fell in love with the whole concept, right. Of, you know, just that whole experience of creating your own world and having all these adventures with your friends in this like different environment than you could ever do with any other game I'd seen before then. Right. I mean, this is kind of predates video games cause I'm old.
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, we had Ataris and stuff like that, but I mean, in general that there was no MMOs and that kind of stuff. Right. So,
oh yeah.
No. Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, this was it, and it was such an expansive experience, right? You know, and just, you know, being able to create your characters and customize them and have, you know, your guy be amazingly cool in one aspect and I have another guy who's equally cool in a completely different way, you know, so, you know, and then trying to create a balanced party that could do different things. And yeah, I mean, it was great. I was hooked immediately, you know, and probably within a year I was running games for my friends.
Nice, that quickly. That's awesome.
I took to it very quickly, right? You know, and then we started playing, you know, we played Top Secret Spies and a bunch of other different RPGs that anything we could get our hands on at the local hobby shop, which was, you know, a 45-minute drive for one of our parents to take us to that we would beg for.
mm-hmm. Yep.
So that we could buy Airfix models and D&D books, right? So, you know, that was kind of where I got my start into what I'd call the hobby aspect of tabletop gaming, right? As opposed to just kind of playing casual games with family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. You know, awesome.
What was your favorite game as a kid, generally? Besides D&D, maybe, did you have other like kind of board games or anything that you were like really into, or were you more mostly into RPGs?
Yeah, you know, we played a lot of war game stuff. Axis and Allies
and things, sure.
We got played a whole lot, you know, with myself and some of those same friends.
That was one of my favorites.
And I remember getting like the little Ziploc bag of Ogre from Steve Jackson games.
Yep.
We played a lot of Ogre. And that was a fabulous game, you know, with the awful little chits.
And if you look at like the sixth edition, like Kickstarter that came out back in like 2014 or whatever, you look at that giant 27-pound box versus the little tiny Ziploc bag from back in the late 70s or early 80s. Yeah. It's kind of amazing the way that it changed.
It is amazing. Right. And I mean, it's, you know, the new modern amazing thing that they did with that giant box was awesome, but you know, I mean, it'll never be the same game that I played as a kid with those little chits when we had so much fun. Yeah. Right. It's interesting these days. I think a game does need to have a little more toy quality to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new version of Car Wars?
Yeah,
I mean, that's got a bit more of a, like, again, those little tiny chits versus now actual plastic cars and stuff like that.
That's another game I played a lot of Car Wars for a while.
Yes,
as a kid.
Same here, college.
Oh, yeah. And just, I mean, making, just making cars, right?
Yeah.
Not even playing, you know, we made so many cars that we never played with.
Just the car creation system was a lot of fun. And then those magazines would come out and there'd be ads for new products in the magazine. And at the bottom of the ads were the actual stats, the in-game stats. And so, yeah, it was a brilliant system. I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to this new one. Like I did the Kickstarter and it should be showing up in the next couple of months, I think.
I think it'll
be interesting to see if it's going to have the same flavor. I mean, I've actually played it a little bit. I went to the Steve Jackson convention, not this year, but last year in Austin.
Okay.
And so I did get to play like a beta of it and everything. And it's interesting. It is different, but I think it's still, I think it could go well. It does remind me a little bit of X-Wing, but,
okay.
You know, cause it's a little bit more, you don't have the little wheels and all that stuff, but you do have like a control panel in front of you. So you don't have to be, you know, keeping an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and marking so many things down. It's a little bit more friendly for the bookkeeping.
I think that'll be great, right? It's a little bit of a modern take on the old classic. I think that'll be
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. What type of stuff do you play these days generally? Like, I'm assuming because you're doing a lot of design in more board gaming realm, you're probably doing more of that. But do you still play like Dungeons and Dragons? Do you have a campaign that you play with or a group you play with these days?
Yeah, I've got a group of friends that plays D&D. We've got two campaigns going.
Nice.
Okay.
I mean, kind of going, I guess I should say. I mean, we haven't played in some time.
Have you guys been playing online at all?
We have not. We're talking about maybe playing online. All of mm-hmm. us. I mean, I'm in the gaming industry, but the rest of my group is, we've got one college professor and the rest are all high tech guys. And mm-hmm. so,
okay.
You know, everybody is on a lot of video calls.
Sure.
And so the excitement level for being on essentially another video call to play D&D hasn't been exciting for us, but we're reaching the point where I think we may end up on Roll20 here before the end of the summer, just because we can't stand it.
Yeah, no,
yeah, that's kind of what we did. Yeah. I have to say it's been a much better experience than what I was thinking it was going to be. Cause I'm the same. I've got a lot of, you know, I deal with a lot of clients online and those are just horrible, but it's a little different when it's with your friends, you're joking around and stuff sure. like that. But it's not quite the same, but at least it's better than nothing, I guess. So.
Yeah. And we've got one campaign that was probably two evenings from wrapping up, and then we were going to get back to another campaign that had been on hiatus. So we're kind of,
okay.
We're definitely ready. We're ready to do that. So it would be exciting. And then I play board games. Well, pre-corona, I played mm-hmm. board games once a week with a group of buddies. And we play typically, the hour and a half to 3 hour Euro games is kind of our sweet spot. Like we play all kinds of, I mean, you name it, we play it. We're kind of addicted to trying new games. So,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably play four new big board games a month, plus a mm-hmm. few
oh, wow.
classics thrown in there.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of our big thing. The other thing that I was like, my staff at the store and us, like, there's a bunch of us there who play Frostgrave, and we've been really waiting for the second edition of Frostgrave to come out.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that'll bode for playing as well this time around. So
we'll see. That's. I would think that Frostgrave in that situation would almost be harder than doing normal role playing to some degree, just because of the, you know, the positionality and things like that. I have played a fantasy skirmish game on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
I played some Relic Blade not too long ago. And but I was playing with a guy who is basically part of their demo team. So he knew it very, very well because he's run hundreds of demos. And so it went pretty smoothly. Because since this has started, he has switched to doing demos online like that. So for him, it was actually like it, for me, basically, it was like I just needed to get the I needed to get the kind of the actual structure of how that software works kind of figured out. But I had him to tell me, oh, yeah, hold Alt when you do this and that kind of stuff, you know. And so it was really simple that way. So it was a lot of fun. But if you don't have somebody like that, then it's, I think it is a steeper hill to climb as far as that's concerned. So,
I've been doing
Imperial Assault, which is, I think I explained this setup once before, but like basically we're using Google Meet and then we realized that we can have as many people join as we want. So we are actually using like our webcams for ourselves. But then we've got our phones. We'll just dial in with our phones and mute them, and then put that
point the camera
holders
at the
or whatever,
trays.
Yeah, on our dice trays, so we can actually see each other roll and stuff too. Which, you know, less from a cheating perspective, but more it was actually like we can share in the excitement of like when someone rolls, we can go like, you know, at the same time like know what that person rolled versus them like going, oh, I rolled this, and then everybody else having to react. We found that it engaged us a lot faster, a lot better on that. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot more fun to watch, you know, like a critical block or something, you know, all of a sudden roll and you're like, oh, okay, yes, redefeated, you know, Darth Vader this time. But
oh, see, that's exciting because like a big part of gaming is those shared moments.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it is hard when you're trying to do something remotely and you make the big role, but no one else sees it.
Right. Exactly.
And it was it's even worse with like the Fantasy Flight dice because it's all symbols. So you're like, I got a 3 and 2 hit ones and 1 surge. And you're like,
yeah,
on one dice. And then on my other dice, I got this. And you're like, so now everybody's trying to do math in their heads at different. It got painful. And we're like, all of a sudden, one of us was like, oh, I bet I could do this. And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a way better idea. Let's do that.
You can set up a Google Meet. So basically anybody who has the link can attach to it. So you can just keep adding devices. And so each person's basically attached twice because they're in the meeting with their webcam on their laptop.
Yeah, so we've got one person with a map. And then, yeah, everybody's got their dice on there. And, yeah, it's as close as I've seen it to being at the table with one another as we can. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that idea.
Steve, what got you into the industry? Like, how did you get into it? Did you start like working at a game store or did you start in design or how did you get into the actual industry?
So I guess in the mid 90s, I met my friend Jeff Abramson, who later became my business partner for the store. We met at a little comic book shop that ran Magic tournaments. And he and I were both engineers in tech companies at the time. So we started playing Magic together, and then we realized that we actually worked essentially across the street from each other. So we started playing Magic some days at lunch together as well. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of hit it off. At some point, a year or two after we had met, that comic book store was closing. And one of us, I don't even remember who it was at this point, one of us joked around that we should just buy it and keep it open so we had a place to play Magic. And then we got a little serious about it. We looked at their financials. They were horrible. And we were like, well, we could just start our own store.
Sure.
More or less a joke at the beginning because we kind of, neither one of us had ever worked retail in our lives. And so we thought after a while, we just kept thinking about it. And it's like, man, I really do want a place to hang out, right? And I really, I do think we could, there's a lot of cool games in the world. And it would be really fun to like get into these games because nobody was really carrying a nice assortment of board games or anything like that in the Portland area. And so we decided to open a store. So we opened a store in 1998. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we immediately made it our focus to be more board game oriented as opposed to just being a Magic shop. And sure. I think that differentiated our store very quickly.
Oh yeah.
And the other thing is that we were incredibly bright and opened about 6 months before Pokemon hit the US for real.
Oh, that was good timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, people always ask, it's like, how long did it take you to become profitable? And it's like, 6 months. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not because we're that brilliant. It's because that we randomly opened 6 months before Pokemon hit and it was super hot, right? So, you know, the thing that we did that was smart though is we took that Pokemon money and we just poured it all back into the store, right? Mm-hmm. So we grew our store and, you know, we became kind of a store that had a real focus on board games, but we still did collectible card games and we also had a big miniature community with Games Workshop product.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it was just a nice foundation for the store. After the first 3 years, we moved to the location we're still in today, which is like 3,600 square feet. And so Rainy Day Games has been in that spot since 2001. And it's been nice. A great location for us. We've continuously grown and it's been fun. So somewhere along the line, I mean, we kind of became known as, you know, professional retailers that kind of sort of knew what we were doing, and we gave a lot of seminars and talked at a lot of industry gatherings, and I got to meet a lot of publishers along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think my background as an engineer was made me very strong for playtesting and feedback and understanding you know, things that were going on in the background of games that, you know, from the math side that made them work or not work and things like that. So I started consulting and helping out with some publishers that I'd become friends with on some games. And the next thing you know, I was doing design and development work for a few people here and there. And then I decided, I kind of enjoy this. So and
you could start your own game design company. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started doing a little more freelance work. And then, and I think in like 2017, I met Charlie Chu from Oni Press, and we hit it off at Gen Con and realized we lived in the same city.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so, yeah, so we kind of formed Oni Games as a division of Oni Press. And so I've just been working on more stuff there. So, yeah, it's been great. We've got a new little card game coming out in August called based on the Gudetama license from Sanrio that we hope is really successful. That'll be with Renegade Games, as most of our stuff is. We have great partners with Renegade. So,
we just interviewed Terry last episode, was it?
Yeah, it was last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I was chatting with Terry over the weekend about some marketing stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, she's great. No, it's it's been great. I love the team at Oni, and I feel like the teams at Oni and Renegade align very closely in our kind of core business values and the way we like to work together and do things collaboratively. So it's been a very strong partnership for us.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's been great. I mean, working with their team, it allows us a lot more flexibility in that we didn't have, there's positions that we didn't have to immediately staff up.
You can kind of slowly get into it.
Yeah. So the Oni Games team is pretty lean and more focused on, you know, kind of development and design and getting a final product, graphic design and everything delivered to Renegade. And then we don't really think about international shipping and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which nice. Is probably helpful.
Yeah. 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 So it's been a great partnership. So yeah, so that's been fun. So I've been doing some form of game design work for about 10 years now. I think my first published game was with another friend of mine, James Eastham. And I want to say we did a card game called Railways of the World, based on the big Railways of the World board game series that I had worked on with Sean Brown and doing some map work and other things on some of their stuff, doing a lot of play testing and helping. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of evolved from that.
Very cool.
And then you found it. It was not quite enough to own a game store and also be a game designer. And then you wanted to start stuff like Free RPG Day and Board Game Expo as well. It sounds like.
Yeah, I have a problem of wanting to be busy, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. when did Free RPG Day start?
So I believe the first Free RPG Day happened in 2012. I was just looking at some historical records, and that's it was founded by Aldo Giozzi, who founded Impressions, which has helped a lot of small companies get into distribution over the years.
Yeah, I remember Aldo. Yeah,
yeah, and so Aldo
from the
founded
GPA his, is where I remember him.
Yeah,
from,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he founded the event, and in 2019, myself, Paul Butler, Travis Severance, and Rob Harrington got together, and we purchased Free RPG Day from Aldo because he'd had it for a long time and was, you know, he still wanted the event to survive and exist, but he was just kind of tired and not as enthused about doing the work to change it and make it grow going forward. Right. So
sure.
And one person doing it by themselves is kind of difficult as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had been kind of thinking about how it would go forward without him for the last few years. And at one point the small group of us had talked to Aldo about maybe buying Impressions or some other options, just because we kind of wanted an excuse to work together because we were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all we consulted with each other a lot on our retail businesses already and felt like we would make a good team. And so we decided that distribution in any form was not where we really wanted to be, but Free RPG Day had a lot of appeal to us because we all had a strong history with RPGs and a love of that aspect of tabletop gaming. So Aldo and us, we had a discussion, and I think it was just a good deal for all sides to make it happen and move forward. And so 2019 was when we purchased it. And then, but that year kind of just ran through as Aldo had always run it. Right. So, this year, 2020, we kind of had control from start to finish. So it's been a fun experience for us, you know, re-engaging and working with a lot of publishing partners to kind of bring the best Free RPG Day kit that we could to the market this year. So it's exciting for us to get to work with all those guys, because we've got a really good feel for what aspects of the things that the various publishers bring to the market that is appealing for stores.
Sure.
In the form of what brings
people into stores. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I think it's a really good, two-way street between the two of us, right? Between us and our publishing partners, because we've got a lot of history and background as to what has worked and hasn't worked in our stores for events in the past, you know? Mm-hmm. So it puts us in a really good position to work with them to come up with products and SKUs for that kit that are, you know, both interesting for consumers and also valuable to the publisher as a way to get them more exposure, and the retailers as a way to drive people into their stores to get the cool new thing.
Yeah. And for gamers, like gamers who may have not heard of Free RPG Day, like it's a specific day. And it's generally it's people coming to a store, and there's specific events, but also kind of things that they can get, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Free RPG Day, I mean, the historical vision and what we would like it to be is it's a celebration of role-playing games at local mm-hmm. retailers, right? So it's a chance for people to come in and try a game they haven't tried before, or to play a new clever scenario that, you know, maybe takes an hour or two that a publisher has made for the day. So it's exclusive content made just for that day. Sometimes the publishers also include quick start rules. So you get the quick start rules for their game.
You can take home with you and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, short adventure. Yeah. And so there's stuff for the players to take away and take home. But it's the whole hope is to really have a celebration of role-playing games at the stores, right? So obviously 2020 is a little different. Because most stores probably won't be running big events this year. So mm-hmm. we've kind of changed the event up a little bit this year and let stores know of a variety of ways that they can engage with their customer base and try to make this a big event and a success for them as well, even if they won't be doing in-store gaming.
Sure.
So we've got a website, freerpgday.com, where consumers mm-hmm. can go and find a store that's participating. It's also got some, you know, additional instructions for retailers. And if you want to be a publishing partner in 2021, there's a place for you to put your information in so that we can reach out and talk to you about that. So yeah, there's a lot of options, but I think we've got, you know, it's really expanded over the years, because this year we've got a few instances where there's some terrain pieces and like a painting guide and some other stuff in the kit as well. Right.
That sounds great.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Because RPGs are much more than just a book and a piece of paper, right? I mean,
these days, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got some stuff in there about how to paint miniatures and things like that as well, to kind of be more inclusive and try to get as broad of a, you know, picture of the hobby as possible to the people who show up for the events. You know, we've got a really cool Warlock tile terrain piece that's in the kit this year.
The Warlock tiles from WizKids.
Yeah. So sadly, that's, you know, not one of the things that there are 15 each of. There's only one of those in a kit. So the goal was for that to be a centerpiece for some adventures that day in the store. And typically those kind of pieces are given away to like a game master or something at the end of the weekend, end of the day.
Got it.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a couple different dice companies participating that put in some cool dice sets and things like that as well for people to take home. So yeah, I mean, the goal is just to make it kind of a, like I said, a celebration of RPGs and, you know, let people know that there's a lot more out there than just D&D, which is, you know, the juggernaut of the genre.
Sure.
You know, but like there's, you know, we've got, I don't know, 15 or something different little adventures and stuff in there. So, I mean, the big cool thing we did this year that's new is that we've got a a book, a compilation book that the Ninth Level Games team helped us put together. And this is a book filled with little like 2 to 4 page mini RPG things from all kinds of creative designers that probably would not have a chance to be part of Free RPG Day in, a, in another form.
More like independent.
Yeah. Yeah. So like nice. a little book filled with indie RPG stuff, which Free RPG Day has never had in the past. So I think that's a big bonus and add to the content.
Absolutely. Because,
yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of really cool, innovative indie game design stuff going on. And so
I think that
getting that,
I think that, that as Dungeons and Dragons specifically being the big, you know, person, the big, you know, player in the field, as they become a bit more mainstream and you see them on, you know, TV shows and you see it in movies and things like that, then the independent folks, like the people who are playing, start to look towards the independent folks. And it's kind of one of those rising tides, you know, raises all ships sort of situations.
Oh, I definitely agree. Right. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you look at how popular D&D is with all of the, you know, all of the streaming and all that kind of stuff that's going on, right? And I think that, you know, you just have more and more people being exposed to the hobby, right? And so I think it's neat to give those customers an opportunity to discover that this is a broader hobby than just one game, right?
And I think with RPGs that I'd like is that the ability for creativity, it seems to be probably the easiest among like all the different genres, like RPGs. I mean, there are, I know we've talked about it a few times on the podcast of some of the weird ones out there, you know, that are just stuff that, you know, are very abstract or, you know, very, you know, creative that, you know, if you actually went to a publisher and had to try to get the, you know, pieces made in a board game and all that stuff, probably would never have come to fruition. Whereas you can go post a PDF with the rules and people can find it and get started right away.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's better, there's a lot more room for experimentation and finding, you know, different ways to look at it. And it's not just rolling a die anymore.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, in my, you know, in our kind of grand designs here, it'd be really cool if this little book that's we're calling Level One, you know, with all these little indie RPG experiences in it. I mean, it may be that, you know, there's a creator or two in that book that wouldn't have been discovered by so many people.
Yeah, it could be the action comic of our time.
Yeah, without this exposure, right? So, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Who knows? I mean, who knows where this could lead, right? So we're very excited about bringing some of that into this space. And, you know, and it also, that book also contains information for retailers. If they're wanting to carry more indie RPG things, it tells them how they can get a hold of all this kind of stuff too. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. So we're hoping to kind of grow. I mean, it's an international event. So we do have kits going out to Australia and Canada and United Kingdom and Germany and several of the Nordic countries. And yeah, so there's kits going all over the place. So it's fun and exciting to see it grow. We're going to have about 40% more kits ship out this year than ever before.
That's a big growth. Yeah.
We're super excited. Like, I mean, we were, you know, a couple months ago when all this craziness that is 2020 was going on, we were a little bit nervous, right? It's like, oh my, we've made way more kits available than ever before. And here we are in the year of the coronavirus, right? So we'll see what happens. But it's all worked out very well. It's been very well received. I think seeing that growth gives us a lot of hope for where we can go in the future. Just making the kits bigger and better and engaging more and more people as it grows, right?
I feel like this particular thing that we're in, this pandemic, like it seems like Free RPG Day would work still relatively well within this because so many RPG groups do have a tendency to be kind of insular, you know, like you already got a group you're playing with. So if you can go to the store, even though maybe you can't play in the store because of, you know, just safety protocols and things like that going on, that it's still a little bit not too difficult to still get people involved, getting them to go to the store and then bring those products home and then maybe play online with Roll20 or play online with Discord or something like that with their normal group. Or if it's a family group, they can also work together that way. So yeah, I think that like this in comparison to your other project, which is Board Game Expo, is maybe, I think, a little bit more safe in this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, right?
Game Expo was going to happen in April, which was like really like at the beginning towards this. So that was kind of an issue, whereas this is coming up in the end of July. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we picked Board Game Expo when we chose that date. We had no idea the world would be like it was. But we
of course not,
We essentially picked D-Day for the coronavirus in the U.S.
Yeah,
it was like, it was karma for you picking the Pokemon to open your door, your store with. This is payback.
It was. Yeah, it came back to get me after all these years. But it's. I mean, I will say that we were super excited about that, and we still learned a lot from our attempt at Board Game Expo. So we will bring that back in some form at some time in the future. We have ongoing conversations with several key publishing partners that we work with, and we're just all kind of, I mean, all of us are in uncharted territory, so we're not about to announce a date or anything like that in the near future, but it's on our radar, that we want to do something again. The publishers want us to do it. The overwhelming feedback we got is that everybody just wants us to go bigger and hit more and more stores than we were going to do our first year.
Sure.
I think that's a good problem to have. We learned a lot of lessons in the background. That even though people won't know, the next time will be better. Because there's a lot of stuff we learned about, managing the projects in the background and coordinating everything and maybe the number of games that we should do for the event and stuff like that. So, so I think we're going to be in great shape when we're ready to do it again. We had such great relationships with those publishers that were part of the first one that didn't end up happening, none of them, we didn't lose a bunch of money or anything crazy trying to make this work. Right. We had, everybody kind of stood behind us, and I think everybody felt like we made the correct decision and did the right thing. All of the retail stores that had prepaid for the event, everybody got their money back. We took care of everyone. The publisher took good care of us, so we lost a lot of time and effort sorting it out and figuring everything out for the event, but
it's not wasted because you'll have that then experience for next year.
Exactly. Like I said, we obtained a lot of knowledge in the background. So we'll be, and we're also very good now at dealing with craziness that may come up.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Adversity. Yeah. No, that's doesn't get much more adverse, I don't think.
No, I know. I'll say the team that is Gaming Days that owns Free RPG Day and Board Game Expo and stuff, the four of us that put that together, I've been incredibly impressed with everyone on the team. I knew everyone before and was impressed with everyone then, but having a business together and dealing with this year has made me even more convinced that it was the right decision to put this team together and do this.
Absolutely.
What
would you say is your biggest surprise of running that, of putting that together? Like, what was something that you weren't expecting?
Outside of the virus, I suppose.
Right.
I'm trying to think. It's like people ask me, how it's going and all that kind of stuff all the time. And I think that the biggest surprise is probably that there haven't been any surprises as far as work dynamics between the four of us. Everybody's like, oh, I don't know, you guys are all friends. And it's like, yeah, but we're all pretty competent guys, and I feel like we respect each other. Like, I think it'll be okay. And so I think, maybe the big surprise is that, so far we all work pretty well together.
If you're able to go through that that much stress without, falling apart, then that's a good sign.
We have not fallen apart and killed each other yet. So like, if we get through 2020, I feel like we're going to be pretty strong.
Absolutely.
It's certainly been trying, we've had a few, video calls where, it's like, what are we going to do? Right.
Oh,
you know,
sure,
it's
yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's not anybody's fault. You know, none of us have done something wrong, right? You know,
no.
It's like we've all been doing our thing. I mean, I think the you know, pleasant surprise for me is that we kind of went into it all going, yeah, I mean, we're all kind of partners, right? We're not going to really worry about who does what or what needs to get done. I mean,
And this
one
is
thing
also
else, yeah.
a side gig too. You know, like this, if this was
yeah,
like
is.
The business that everybody was, if this was like the business and everybody had, you know,
everybody
to pay their bills
their
based off
and,
of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is for all of you, something you guys are doing on the side, and it's still important, but it's not your main,
correct.
You know, exactly. Which helps. That definitely.
Correct.
Helps.
Yeah. I mean, it's a side gig for all of us. None of us are, none of us are going to get wealthy running Free RPG Day.
Right. Exactly.
You know, all of us have other sources of income that are, I would hope are always going to outweigh what we're making off Free RPG Day.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think part of it is it's something that we all wanted to do. You know, and I think our goal is to make enough money that, you know, we cover our tax burden and that kind of stuff from the venture. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, the hope was that we'd all have this cool thing that we got to work together on. And I mean, we're doing that. The only difference is we're not getting together in person like we'd hoped.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and these types of things, you know, you get into this situation where you're trying to, it's a passion project because it's a thing that you love and it's a hobby and whatnot. And you're just trying to make it better. Like this is you trying to give back to the industry and the people who play the games and get, you know, get things out there so that the independent developers can get out more people's, you know, radar and the non-independents as well. I mean, it's just basically you're doing a service, in my opinion, for the whole gaming, tabletop gaming kind of thing, you know, with both the board gaming thing and the RPG thing. And so I think it's just, you know, again, it's not because it's not a business that's designed to make tons and tons of money or whatever. I think that people appreciate it more a little bit. I mean, I've heard a good deal about Free RPG Day over the years and from local places and things like that. So I'm glad that you guys have kind of picked up those reins and started to do that as well and keep it going. And I'm looking forward to, you know, Board Game Expo hopefully next year and that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're really excited about Free RPG Day going forward. I mean, it's, you know, we get to work with, you know, people like Paizo and all these big companies, as well as the independent folks. So it's fun for us to see that spectrum, and mm-hmm. it's fun for us to help everyone grow and hopefully gain new fans and exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Steve, can you remind everybody how that they can learn more about Free RPG Day, and also the date, so they know, you know, when to go and check out their stores and things like that.
Yeah, people can go to freerpgday.com, and all the information is there. The event this year is on July 25th.
Okay.
So it's coming up real soon.
Yep, it's a Saturday.
Yep, so yeah, so we're, 12 days out. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's getting exciting. Kits are starting to ship out to all the retailers. So yeah, before we know it.
And they can find out what local store near them is participating from the website.
Correct. Yeah. There's if you go as a fan, if you go to the website, you can click on the For Gamers link, and it'll take you to a spot where you can find a participating store near you.
And do you have to pre-register or anything like that?
You do not have to pre-register. We always encourage people to touch base with their local store to see exactly how their local store is handling it, particularly in 2020.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so stores may be running things in a variety of ways this year. Some people are using things as, you know, purchase incentives. Some people are, you know, just treating it more like Free Comic Book Day.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might run events. I mean, depending on what part of the country you're in or what part of the world you're in, it may be acceptable for you to run events where you're at. You know, but we're giving people a lot more flexibility this year on how they do it based on their local need. I know
that makes sense.
I know that my store, there's just no way we can run in-store events on July 25th this year, but mm-hmm. we've got some other creative things going, and hopefully people will stop by and pick up a cool thing that they've never seen before, or grab the hot Paizo adventure that they've been waiting for this year, and take it home and enjoy it with their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. Well, I want to thank you, Steve, for coming on the show. We really appreciate you coming out to let people know about yourself, but also about Free RPG Day and Board Game Expo and all that kind of stuff. So, and hopefully we can see each other again in person at a convention at some point in the future. That'll be good, I think. Looking forward to going to conventions. Yeah, me too.
I hope so. Absolutely. I hope so. Yeah. I didn't get into this industry for virtual conventions.
Yeah, no exactly. No. Same here. I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, no, it's great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Game 4 Podcast. If you've got questions or comments and you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment below. If you're listening via your favorite podcast player or just aren't into the whole YouTube comments section thing, then you can feel free to reach out to us via email at podcast@imgame4.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our website at www.imgame4.com. That is www.iamgamefor.com. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.